Gun companies make billions of dollars selling guns, but they won't be standing beside you if you have to use their guns.
Back and forth, shots fired, Mom, the dictator. Back and forth, requesting assistance.
So what is the answer? Selfdefensefund.com. $1 million to protect you in criminal and civil legal matters. All 50 states, U.S. territories, and tribal land. The sad truth. If you defend yourself, your home, your business, your place of worship, you could be charged with public endangerment, intimidation, assault, manslaughter, murder. If you go it alone, winning the lawsuit could cost your entire life savings. Losing the lawsuit could mean huge fines and imprisonment. If you legally defend yourself, you could face a lawsuit and possibly lose your assets, maybe face jail time. Others lobby, we fight. Our members are protected. Membership offers training classes. Learn how to avoid an attack, not just survive one. Members have $1 million for criminal and civil protection for just $12.50 per month. What can the $1 million be used for? You have the advantage of multiple specialized attorneys at your side. Criminal litigation, civil litigation, expert witness, certified scientific forensic testing lab, private investigator, bail bond, victims' rights, selfdefensefund.com.
You get to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Live from Houston, Texas, a man who calls it like he sees it, without the normal political correctness you may have grown comfortable with. It's time for the Texas Perspective on current news and events. This show is not for the faint of heart or easily offended. Clear your desk, get your number two pencil ready. The Inquisition is about to begin.
Nobody respects the Spanish Inquisition.
If you have questions, please refer them to the chat room and make them good.
Go ahead, make my day.
The doctor is in, and he will see you now.
Well, I guess we better get on with it.
So before we begin, we'd like everybody in here, if you could please take out your phone, go on to YouTube, and look up This is Texas Freedom Force, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're about 150 people short of being able to do live videos, and that's why this is not being live streamed today. So if we could get at least a couple more in there and continue to work on this, some of these events will be live on YouTube for you guys to watch. Other than that, I'm going to turn it over to Doc, and you can take it away, sir.
Thank you very much. I am Doc Green. Hopefully, all of you listen to my show every day, but if you don't, the name of the show is Right Side of the Mic, and you can find me on AVRN.TV or AmericanVoiceRadio.com. And occasionally, in some of the towns around here, like Fredericksburg, 104.9 FM, but we're on all of those. We're also on Right America Media and RagingElephantsRadio.com. And I hope that you'll tune in because we cover a lot of stuff that you don't hear on the other shows. So that's what we try to do. I want to thank you all for being here today. We're going to talk about some of the problems that we have here in Texas, maybe get a few solutions. So I'm glad that you guys are here for the live show, and later on it will be up on YouTube, God willing. I'd like to introduce all of the participants that we have here today. And I'm going to start. We're going to go kind of left to right here. We got C.J. Grisham participating by video from an undisclosed location.
Wait a minute. Did you start me at the far left?
He deserved that. He does. We got Richard Briscoe, also with Open Carry, Texas. We got Mr. Milk Toast himself, David Amott. Never offensive, always smooth. And then with This is Texas Freedom Force, we have Randy Beal, our Houston Communications Director, and of course, there in the middle, Brandon Burkhart. He is the chairman and then president, excuse me. And then we have the San Antonio Communications Director, Ramon. And I should mention that Ramon Garza, if you guys didn't see the video, he is one of the guys in front of the Alamo. And this big black dude just hauled off and wailed on him right upside the head. And Ramon kind of rocked like this. And the guy took off because he knew he was in trouble then. Don't mess with a Marine. That's all I can tell you. And then with the Texas Values Coalition, we have Jonathan Symes. So it's going to be an open forum. We've got some opening statements we're going to have. And then we're going to open it up for questions. So if you hear stuff, write a note. When your chance comes, try to state it in a cohesive fashion or I'll have to take the mic back. And we're going to start with Jonathan Symes. I believe you got a video that you're going to play for us.
I do. Well, good afternoon to everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Brandon. Doc, it's good to see you again. TJ, a number of familiar names and faces. And so got a video I want to show, talk a little bit about our work at Texas Values. I'm going to discuss the pro-life issue in quite a bit of detail, but there are three pillars that we work on at Texas Values. That's religious freedom, marriage and family, and pro-life. But I'll let you watch the video. I'll talk a little bit more about my background and the work that I have been doing for quite some time that matters to people in Texas.
Texas Values is the largest organization in the state of Texas that works on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. This past year, we have seen an overwhelming number of attacks on our churches, our families, and human life. 2020 has been a year like no other. We defeated radical sex education in Austin, Tennessee.
We had people from all over the spectrum, about 120 speakers, concerned about this issue.
And they're trying to implement one of the most extreme and radical forms of abortion-related, LGBT-related sex education that we've ever seen. It's even been getting national news.
It has been revealed through open records requests that Austin ISD cannot use Alberta Health Services sex ed curriculum.
We're excited to announce that we have 100% participation in our sex ed sit-out today.
Health education is not just diet and exercise. It includes sex education. And TFN and other groups are really trying to radically change what has already been in the to include abortion, to include gender identity as young as kindergarten, to include all of these things that have been in Austin in the state standards.
And then a huge pro-life victory when pregnancy resource centers weren't sure what the rules were. Were they essential during the coronavirus? Could they keep giving diapers and formula and all the great resources to mothers? We provided them that legal analysis so they could stay open and continue to be essential. We filed a brief in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we defended and stood alongside the state. That was a huge victory. Planned Parenthood had stopped their abortions for about 14 days. We estimate potentially 2,000 lives were saved during that time. All the work we did with churches, standing with them, having conference calls, having emails, having video conferences to keep them up to date with some of the changing rules, how they can navigate these issues, but still serve their people, still protect their First Amendment rights.
Church is never going to be the same, and we potentially are going to get to craft our tomorrow. The shift is happening, and revitalization of the church is upon us. We're seeing the gospel advanced in unprecedented ways.
Jonathan Symes and Texas Values have been an amazing help. I've been going according to this proverb that says, with many counselors, your plans succeed. And so Texas Values has been great at putting pastors together on the phones.
Great guidelines on how to worship and stay within the safe and healthy guidelines that the CDC and others have put out. But what that might look like.
We're trying to sift through all the information that's out there that we get from the feds, from the state, from all sources, and trying to find out what's relevant, what's legitimate, and then providing that to folks in social media and traditional media interviews and emails.
I think we're going to see that Texans, just like every other situation we've handled since 1836, we're going to be tough, we're going to be resilient, and we're going to be able to come back better and stronger than ever.
For the fourth year, we've been doing this work through radio, also through Zoom. The Texas Values Report is a weekly show that we do through a local radio station here in Central Texas, but we're also incorporating social media at times on our weekly program. But we talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom as they relate to the arenas of the courts, the legislature, and the media. Tonight, we're going to have U.S. Senator Ted Cruz as our guest.
Thank you for the great work Texas Values does each and every day. I'm grateful for you. You represent our state.
Abby Johnson, pro-life speaker, pro-life advocate, pro-life hero, has been our guest today on the Texas Values Report.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all the work you guys are doing.
Lila Rose is going to be our guest today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for having me and all the work that you're doing. It's so important.
Tom Sasser serves as Executive General Counsel for First Liberty Institute.
We've been talking with Rick Green, founder and author of Patriot Academy.
Obviously, being involved with Texas Values is critical. You guys are the boots on the ground that we need.
We also hosted our Faith, Family, and Freedom Forum with over 30 elected officials and national speakers.
You're the God who saved. You're the God who saved.
We once again sold out this event as we educated, motivated, and activated people on issues of faith, family, and freedom.
God who saved. Why don't we know?
Texas Values Action gives us a truly comprehensive approach to advocacy by allowing us to hold elected officials accountable based on their voting records at the ballot box. Through Texas Values Action, we produce the Faith and Family Legislative Scorecard, a critical education and accountability tool for Texas voters to see where their legislators stood on the values that matter most. We also endorse and support pro-family candidates. Additionally, we produce the most comprehensive and widely used voters guide in the state, equipping hundreds of thousands of Texans for both the primary and general elections at freevotersguide.com. Texas Values Action is the organization capable of effectively equipping and mobilizing values voters across the state of Texas.
All of this activity cements the work that Texas Values has accomplished.
This legacy includes signed legislation like the Merry Christmas Law, the Pastor Protection Law, the First Amendment Defense Act, and pro-life laws like the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, and a law that makes it clear that governments cannot contract with abortion providers like Planned Parenthood.
When it comes to faith, family, and freedom in Texas, Texas Values continues to lead the way.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that update, and really to give you a snapshot of what's been going on across our state, and to some extent across our country when it relates to the issues of faith, family, and freedom. So since we are in a church facility or an extension of a church facility, I like to mention a quote and a verse from the Bible that's very important to me and sums up the work that we do at Texas Values. And it's Proverbs 18:17, and it says, "He who presents his case first seems right until someone steps forth to challenge him." And that sums up the work that we do every day at Texas Values. We've got supporters all across the state in all 254 counties of the state. We've got 12 members of our team. As a matter of fact, one of them is here with me today, Naomi Narvaez, who does outreach for us in the Central Texas area and part, other parts of the state. But I want to just mention, too, being a fifth-generation Texan, it's great to be in the Houston area where I was born and raised, went to Galena Park High School, close to the Ship Channel. As I like to say, I grew up under the shadow of the San Jacinto Monument. You know, a lot of people forget about San Jacinto, right? The Alamo gets all the attention. And look, that's fine. I mean, the Alamo is certainly significant. But we had victory at San Jacinto. So all of my school trips when I was a kid were to San Jacinto. I think I went to the Alamo once as a kid. Right? The battleship Texas, right? The fact that that monument is taller, I think, than the Washington Monument, that great Lone Star above there, and a very rich and important part of our state when it comes to history and significance. When you think about the Port of Houston, a lot of people don't realize it's one of the busiest ports in the world. That runs right through there. That was significant when Sam Houston was there and fighting for our independence and our freedom, and it's still important today. So I am blessed to be fifth-generation Texan. As I like to say, I'm invested, I'm all in when it comes to our state. And so when I was asked to lead an organization, it was easy for me to come up with the name of Texas Values. because we'll see that even today. Not only do people that don't agree with our values, whether in our state or coming from other states or other countries, they don't only want to just redefine marriage and sexuality, they want to redefine Texas. They don't like the principles of faith, family, and freedom. They want to redefine everything that we care about. So as a young student and as a Christian, I went to the University of Texas, and I prayed a lot about how I could serve my fellow man. How could I serve people? And so I thought that law school would be a great place to go, because I was seeing at the time attacks on our values, on Christianity. Kids just being able to pray over their meal as they were at lunch in public schools. Students being challenged and being threatened with litigation and kicked out of school because they wanted to exercise their First Amendment rights to talk about the pro-life issue. I was born in 1973, about 9 months after the Roe versus Wade decision. I'm very aware of the significance of that decision. And so one of my goals when I went to law school was to maybe someday be in a place to where I could help overturn that law. How many of y'all are aware Roe versus Wade is a Texas case? Right? Wade was the attorney general, the district attorney, for the county in Dallas. Roe v. Wade. Roe was Norma McCorvey. She went by a pseudonym, by a name, to protect her privacy. You know, she never had an abortion. She died recently and became a pro-life advocate. And so my prayer was, Lord, if I could just be work on one case that would be significant, it would be important to go to law school. Did not come from a family of lawyers. Blue-collar family working. My dad threw newspapers for the Houston Chronicle. Remember they used to throw newspapers? Not only once, but twice. There was a morning edition and an afternoon edition. A lot of that had to do with that inner conflict with the Houston Post. How many of y'all have lived here for a long time? Remember the Houston Post? I'm going back deep, okay? A lot of times my fingers were stained with that ink as I helped my dad. But I really respected what he stood for in the work ethic he showed me. And so I went on to law school, but I really wanted an opportunity to stand up for our values. Just maybe one case and it would be worth it. Nothing against making a living as a corporate lawyer, but I had other ideas. And so I was preparing to become an advocate, to stand in the place of oftentimes things I saw on the east side of Houston where the government took advantage of people and people were not allowed to speak. You know, one of the phrases we hear a lot at the Capitol is government belongs to those who show up. So I thank you for showing up today, and I want you to remember that. It's so important. When you think about being here today, you think about getting involved, one voice can make a huge difference. And I want to talk to you all a little bit about some of the issues that are going on the pro-life issue, particularly at our state capitol. But before I do, I want you to know that long before I was in a position like I am, leading a statewide organization, being a licensed attorney, and all the different things that I've been involved in, I was just like you. Maybe even less, if you will. Didn't have access to power. I wasn't politically connected. I was just someone in my community like you that care about our principles. That's what led me to law school. I thought the Lord was going to answer my prayer, and when I got out of law school, I'd be able to work on these issues. We actually answered it a lot earlier. And when I was a student at the University of Houston Law Center, I was a part of a pro-life group there, and the government was trying to shut us down. They were putting so much pressure on the pro-life group that they were threatening to kick students out of school. So what is a good law student to do? We sued the University of Houston for our free speech rights. And it was important because a lot of times we think you have to be in a position of power, you have to know people, and certainly that can help. But if the Constitution is on your side, that should be all that you need. But I want to tell you all the truth, okay? I was a little nervous about the situation. Didn't know anyone. About to have everything I had dreamed about and worked for. Worked my way through school at the University of Texas. Paid for my school. All of that was about to be taken away because I was standing up for life. And not just the womb, the innocent child in the womb, but those young ladies and young men that go through this decision and don't know what their rights are. That's what the left is afraid of that information, the power of it. So the young lady that started the lawsuit before me, she was graduating, I took it over, and we saw that issue through into federal court, and we won against the University of Houston. Now, not only was that victory significant then, but it was the victory that would come after it, because we were fighting for the ability to have an event on campus to talk to people about this issue. And we had a young lady come up to us at one of the events after that that we were able to have as a result of winning that lawsuit. And she was being pressured to have an abortion by her boyfriend. And before she left our event that day, she got information she had never had before, and she told us that she was going to keep the baby in her womb. That is the real victory. And I have to share with you, are there any Ted Cruz fans in the crowd?
Yeah.
So, I guess this is being recorded. Hopefully Senator Cruz will be okay with this. But I was at an event that we were having many years later, okay? Because when the university, when public universities are sued or there's a lawsuit, the attorney general's office of the state usually has to get involved. It's a public university. It's a government entity. So we were winning in that lawsuit in court, but the University of Houston lawyers were still fighting us. And eventually, and it seemed sort of abrupt, it came to an end. I was one step away from going on to the O'Reilly Show when he was on news to talk about this. It became a big story. So Senator Cruz comes up to me later at one of our events and says, hey, I didn't realize, because we ended up getting to know each other later, so I didn't realize at the time that you were the one involved with that. Because, you know, that case came to my desk, and we settled that. That was the only case we settled during my time as Solicitor General for the state of Texas, because we knew it was wrong. That's why leadership matters. And Governor Abbott was the Attorney General at the time. So, but I want to give you that history, because I've been there before when everything was on the line for standing up for life myself, right? And even though I might have survived if I would have been kicked out of the university, it could have drastically altered what I was able to do and other people behind me. Because there is an ongoing battle that's still going on today to pressure, threaten people, and make them afraid to stand up for these type of values. So, but what's going on here? What is at stake now, and where are we? You know, there are still over 50,000 abortions in the state of Texas. 50,000. Right? How many people live in Spring? How many people live in Tomball? When you think about some of these cities that are quite large, wiped off the map, okay, if their lives are ended every year. Now, that number has come down. I've thankfully, over the years, been able to be, became a licensed attorney. I've worked on U.S. Supreme Court, Texas Supreme Court, and cases just about any level of government in courts, even representing Gianna Jessen at the U.S. Supreme Court. How many of y'all heard of her? She survived a late-term abortion, okay? I see some families in the room. I saw some kids earlier. We sort of have an idea of how far along the baby has developed at 7.5 months, can survive outside of the womb. That's how far along she was in her mother's room when they performed an abortion procedure on her. Saline abortion burns the baby inside and out. She survived and was born in an abortion clinic. And her and another person we represented, they told the doctor, said for this other little boy that survived, wrap a blanket around him and give him comfort care. They left him to die. So we represented him and Gianna Jessen at the U.S. Supreme Court and were victorious to stop those type of procedures. But I also helped with the sonogram law and the Choose Life license plate and many laws that have been passed over the years in Texas. So with that work, that number was around 80,000 or so for many years. But the sonogram law, that technology has been absolutely amazing, right? And we've seen it. When you can see that child moving around, when you can see the baby suck its thumb, when you can see everything is there, the heartbeat can start as early as 6 weeks, maybe even earlier, right? It's hard for us to deny the humanity that there's nothing different with the unborn child except for location. I remember we have events sometimes. I know we got a lot of men in the room. I'm obviously a man. Don't leave that up to Joe Biden, though. Start getting into some of the sexuality issues. Nonetheless, I don't want to sidetrack this here. But I would have people come up to me and they would say, you're a man. You shouldn't be talking about this issue. You know, this is a woman's issue. And women would say that to me, young women oftentimes. And I'd say, okay, just want to make sure I'm clear. So men should not have an opinion or a voice on this. Absolutely not. You don't go through a pregnancy. All right, I hear what you're saying. Not any man should have any role in the decision of whether or not an abortion is performed.
Absolutely right. You need to be quiet.
Okay. Are you aware of the sex of the judges on the U.S. Supreme Court that decided Roe versus Wade? They were all men. Why is it that they are able to have an opinion and voice on this and I'm not? Because these are sidetrack arguments that they'll bring up. But I have, did I hear a clap? I'll take a clap. Where's that? Come on. Look, there's some great information, too, if you ever get into these discussions. They're not easy to have sometimes, and I get it, right? And so my little sort of comeback to this young lady, I tried to be gentle. I mean, I wasn't trying to make her look bad. But those are relevant points that sometimes shut down debate, and they shouldn't. These are important conversations for us to be having. They're life and death. And that's why for over two decades I've been involved in working on pro-life issues, primarily in the state of Texas. So right now, the Texas legislature is in session. How many of y'all have been to the Capitol yet this session? All right? All right, we need to bring that number up. That's maybe 10%. Now, I know the drive is not exactly close. I just burned over here, though, in about two hours and 15 minutes. Okay? We need you at the Capitol. All right? Getting in touch with your elected officials by email, by phone, absolutely important. If you can show up in person, makes a tremendous impact. Our organization had an event actually last week, Faith and Family Day. We had over 200 people there. The lieutenant governor was there. A lot of other great elected officials. Showing up in person matters. The legislature meets every other year. So we're meeting right now. It goes for 140 days till the end of May. You can make a tremendous impact in the next month or two on this issue if you care about it. And people will think we're in Texas. We're probably going to be fine on the lives issues. There are still 50,000 abortions every year. We've got work to do, right? Roe versus Wade is still the so-called law of the land. In last session in 2019, we were fighting just to pass a law so they didn't abort babies once they were outside of the womb. The Born Alive Infant Protection Act, where states like Virginia and New York, they do that. They're okay with that. We had to make it clear in the state law of Texas, it's not okay. It's murder. It's wrong. But you know, as I was taught at the University of Houston, the law is a teacher. And what the law says certainly matters. And we got to make sure it's clear law. So let me talk to you about some bills that are being considered. One that's getting a lot of attention, I've got my little heart here, the Texas Heartbeat Bill. That's Senate Bill 8. And I think it's on your, the handout I'm going to be referring to is on your chair. This is by Senator Brian Hughes. He is the State Affairs Chairman in the legislature. He's also an attorney and has worked on a lot of pro-life cases. And in the House, it's House Bill 1515. Shelby Slauson, who's from the North Texas area. Brian Hughes is from East Texas. How many of y'all know Briscoe Kane? Name familiar? A few of y'all? All right, now I got some hands coming up. Okay. Briscoe was going to carry the heartbeat bill in the House, and he carried it last session. But he became chair of elections, and, you know, there was a lot of discussion about what the strategy was going to be. So he had this conversation with Shelby Slauson. She is now carrying the main heartbeat bill because she filed one of her own. That's House Bill 1515. It's been renumbered. Senate Bill 8, that is, 8 is a low number when you think about there are thousands of bills filed. And that is an indication, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has already made that clear. It's a priority item to get past this session. If the number of the bill is low, that's usually an indication. But he's made that clear. And the bill is, I don't remember how long it is, 20 pages or so. There's a lot of legalese in there. But the essence of it is, if a heartbeat is detected, and you have to make an attempt to detect it, then an abortion is not allowed. And if an abortion is performed, that doctor can be sued by any of us. You don't have to wait for the attorney general. You don't have to wait for the district attorney. A civil lawsuit can be filed. There are about 12 other states that have passed a law like this. South Carolina just passed it, and they're getting sued in court immediately. And the difference with the Texas law is it does not have criminal penalties, which means the government is not a part of enforcing it, and it makes it almost impossible for the abortion advocates to do what's called a pre-enforcement challenge. They'll file before the law even goes into effect. This bill is controlled by you and I, the citizens. Takes away that ability for the abortion providers to do that. So, and let me talk to you about a couple other bills. Senate Bill 650 cuts off the ability of government to have contracts, transactions, and really agreements with abortion providers or abortion supportive entities, right? We did some work on this last session because Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers, they're not only involved in the abortion industry, they want to be in your public school teaching your kids sex education. Okay, I know we have some kids in here. I'll try not to be too graphic. But just about anything that you could think of that is borderline, if not already pornographic, that's some of the things that they're teaching kids about sex and about activities. Oh, and they also want to be in the position to help your daughter not tell you that she's pregnant and then take her to get an abortion. That's what a lot of these groups do. So they'll say, oh, we don't perform abortions. Yeah, but they're going to provide a ride to your kid and then your grandchild in the womb, their life. So Senate Bill 650 tightens that up and makes it harder to do that. Because that's what a lot of entities are doing. They're trying to contract with liberal school districts like Austin ISD and probably others to do this. And Senate Bill 650 would shut that down. Senate Bill 9 is the Human Life Protection Act. That bill, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, would take us back to our state laws. The heartbeat bill doesn't wait for that. It would be applicable right away. And I don't think I have this bill listed on here, but Senate Bill 1647 encompasses a lot of these issues. Heartbeat issue, not allowed for discriminatory abortions. Do you know that some people perform abortions because of the race they think the baby's going to be? Or there's more pressure on them. That, oh, I think this child might have a disability. Some people will get pressured by doctors. Your child may have Down syndrome. You really might want to consider your options. So these types, Senate Bill 1647 has a lot of that language in there. And part of that's called PRENDA, the Preborn Non-Discrimination Act. We shouldn't be discriminating between these kids in the womb and deciding whether or not they have value of life. It's unbelievable. But we see these things going on. The last thing I want to mention is Senate Bill 394. Do you know that abortion providers and medical entities could mail a pill to your daughter and she could have an abortion chemically, drug-induced, in her bedroom, in her dorm room? You would never know about it. This is what the Biden administration wants to do. There are rules in place that make it clear that is dangerous. The Trump administration put a lot of these protections and policies in place. Biden is going to wipe all of them away, and the abortion industry wants to do that. Some of this, you could suggest, was coronavirus related, but they've been trying for years. Something comes in the mail, a young girl takes a pill, but you know what? It doesn't always work out that way. Young ladies can bleed to death when things don't go right. Why? Think about it. All the way up to 10 weeks, they have an unborn child, a human body in their womb. It has to still come out. And sometimes it doesn't always work out the way it's supposed to. And young ladies will bleed to death because of that. They should, and look, I don't support that at all, and I know y'all probably wouldn't, but if it's still legal to do it, until we can outlaw that, they should be in a doctor's office. They should have somebody by their side before they go through a procedure like this. In case of these type of traumatic effects. But these are some of the key pieces of legislation that are being presented at the Texas Capitol, and a number of other ones that are going on too. This isn't all of them. I wanted to focus in on a handful. But one thing that's encouraging about that, I will tell y'all, is the fact that that list is getting longer is a sign that Texas is electing people that more accurately represent those pro-life values. And it's not always easy. You saw in the video, we talked about a scorecard. We have the only faith and family scorecard in the state of Texas. So it's pro-life issues, it's religious liberty, it's marriage and family, all those things. You can't be good just on one. And for too long, they have come to your door or called your house and said, oh, I'm pro-life. And then the bill comes up that would wipe out abortion, or would put something in place like the heartbeat bill, or take a stand against Roe versus Wade. Oh no, that's too tough. I'm not going to get involved in that. Or even something like the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. So the scorecard we have, we keep tabs on that. right? We're there at the Capitol checking all those votes. But a lot of these pro-life laws are because you and others like you, your family, your friends, ourselves, we have continued to make it clear if you don't go to the Capitol and do what you say you're going to do on the campaign trail, you're going to be out, right? That's why you see sometimes Republican primaries be very active. Because it's not just about if you're a Democrat or Republican, it's are you going to stand up for conservative principles. I was blessed, if you will, and it was an honor to do some work last summer. How many of y'all were involved in the Republican Party of Texas platform process and the convention? A few hands. If you haven't been before, it can be very valuable and important. So our organization was a part of that. We were able to help get some focus on these issues. And not only that, but to get in the party platform and the principles of the Republican Party that life, and including abolishing abortion, is a principle for this legislative session. And that's effectively what Senate Bill 1647 would do. It goes all the way in a variety of different ways. And so I know we got other speakers, and so I want to be considerate of that time. You've got a handout for me. We've got some other handouts on the table. Obviously, I'm going to be here throughout the program. Life is essential. All life, even in the side of the womb. So I'm glad y'all are here today, and I hope together we can continue to protect life in Texas. Thank you.
Gas? You call Russell Metzler at 281-798-8006. His company, GasProductServices.com, is your best choice. Whether it's inside or out, GasProductServices.com offers installation and repair of gas grills, gas lights, gas logs, fire bowls, fire pits, torches, and outdoor kitchens. If you're planning a new house, call Russell for design advice on indoor and outdoor gas products. He's a pro who can work with you and your architect. Maybe you're tired of dragging in firewood and cleaning out the ashes. Well, call Russell. He'll install beautiful gas logs. If you have a fire pit or a fire bowl or some other gas device that doesn't work anymore, call Russell at GasProductServices.com. He services the greater Houston metro area from Galveston to Conroe. And he also ships products nationwide. 281-798-8006. 281-798-8006. GasProductServices.com.
Doc says all the best words start with P. Prudence is a good word. Airlines always say put on your own mask first and then help your loved ones. Prudence means making sure that your family food supply is secure. Most stores have at best a 72-hour supply of food, and if something goes wrong, resupply will not happen quickly. You should have at least a 60-day supply of your favorites because it will allow you to weather the worst crisis and make plans for the future. The answer is Numana.com. N-U-M-A-N-N-A. Numana is not just food storage, but really tasty food that you will enjoy eating. Numana food is designed to last for 25 years, but many people enjoy it several times a week. Now is the time to lay in a supply of tasty Numana food for your family. Be prepared and know your family is safe. Go to Numana.com. right now for fast delivery.
Please return to the Doc Green Show. This is Marvin the Martian. When you miss it, you make me very, very angry.
You guys be sure to sign up over there to get his information. And all right, we are honored to have Mr. C.J. Grisham. And if you're one of those people that exercises your God-given rights of carrying the weapon of your choice. The main man you can thank for that in Texas would be C.J. Grisham. He fought the hard battle. He took the slings, the arrows, and the slams to the ground to get you those rights. C.J. Grisham with Open Carry Texas.
Everybody hear me pretty well?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. First of all, Doc always oversells me. All I did was get other people to be as loud and obnoxious as I am. So I can't really take as much credit as Doc gives me, but I do appreciate it. And I want to thank Brandon also. One of the things that's always kind of annoyed me as an activist, and I've been an activist on many different causes, is that it seems like the conservative movement, we're not as cohesive and we're not as joined at the hip as the left is on a lot of things. You know, you go to any leftist rally and you're going to find baby killer supporters there. You're going to find minimum wage job killers there. You're going to find all the leftist organizations. So even if it's a pro-abortion rally, you're going to find the anti-gun crowd there. You're going to find the minimum wage crowd, the big government crowd, the small liberty crowd, and they all come together. But yet, on the conservative side, when we have, for example, a pro-gun rally, the pro-life people don't show up, and the pro-small government people don't show up, and we're very segmented. So I really appreciate Brandon for bringing this group together. Jonathan's a good man. I'm glad to see him on here. I've supported Texas Values for a while, not monetarily because I haven't been around here, but I support everything they do. I've seen them in the Capitol often, and really appreciate what Texas Values does, and I'm glad that we're able to come together and talk about these various types of issues that we that believe in freedom and liberty actually care about, other than just segmenting ourselves into pro-gun and pro-life and pro-this and that. So it's good to have us all together, and I really think we need to unite more often. And that's one of the things we plan to do is once we kind of gear back up, is if we're going to have a pro-gun rally, we need to start bringing some pro-life people. We need to start bringing some pro-limited government people as well, and make it a conservative rally instead of just sort of the segmented thing. But anyway, as to Open Carry Texas and why I'm on Zoom, people probably think, hey, where did CJ go? I'm still here. But I decided to go to law school. I think I got a lot to share with Jonathan. He when he decided to go to law school, was pro-life issues, and he wanted to make a difference. And, you know, after my third arrest for not breaking any laws whatsoever and trying to fight so hard in Texas for gun rights at the legislature, not getting anywhere, I just feel, you know what, I've had it. And so I'm in my, about to finish my second year of law school. I've got one more year left, and I will be back in Texas. I left Texas so that I could focus, which I hate, because it's the late legislative session, and I can't be there to fight for and against bills and just be a pain in the side of politicians who won't go along with the Constitution. But it's a conscious decision I had to make. Hopefully so that I can make a better difference in the future. If the legislature doesn't act, I'll make them act in the courts, just like Jonathan's doing with pro-life issues. I plan to do with, First, Second, and Fourth Amendment issues as well. One of the neat things I got to do last year I want to talk about, and I'm going to leave most of the legislative stuff to Rick, because, quite frankly, though I'm tracking it sort of from on the outside, I did leave Texas to go to law school because otherwise I would be at the legislature instead of studying my con law casebook, which is thicker than I think my trunk. So I had to buy a trailer just to put my con law book into it. And I knew I'd be way distracted, but I'm going to leave all that stuff to Rick as far as talking about what he's fighting for and what we're fighting for in Open Carry Texas and the legislature. But I did want to talk about a few things that I've been kind of doing to the extent that I can as a law student. And that is, last summer I did my internship. Some of y'all might know an attorney named Millie Thompson. She's now a judge in Hays County for a good reason. I mean, she's a good judge. And some of y'all might be like, wait a minute, especially if you live in Hays County, isn't she a Democrat? Well, yeah, in many places, as you know, in Texas, if you want to win, you have to run as, depending on where you are, a Democrat if you're going to win. Otherwise, there's no chance. Or in Republican districts, you got to run as a Republican or else you don't have a chance. But Milley is one of the most pro-liberty people that that I know. And I turned down a really good offer to internship with a big firm because I wanted to intern with somebody that was going to go into the same kind of law that I want to go into, which is civil rights and these First, Second, and Fourth Amendment issues that we have, and 14th, and well, heck, all of them. And one of the first cases she gave me, and of course, it was the COVID time, so, you know, last summer was the height of the hoax response, not the hoax virus, but the hoax response to the virus. And so I had to do a lot of my internship virtually. And so I reported for duty, and I said, okay, Millie, what's the first thing you want me to do? I'm an eager law student. I just finished my first year, so obviously I know everything about the law. What can I do? That was a joke. That first-year law students don't know anything. As a matter of fact, I think we're dumber coming out of law school because we have to rethink, or out of the first year because we have to rethink, learn how to think differently. But she gave me this case. She says, well, I've got, and it's actually a friend of mine, Todd Ferguson's case is going to appeal. We want to appeal to the Supreme Court, the Texas Supreme Court. Do you want to write the brief for that? If you don't realize, in Texas, if you are arrested for a crime, a Class B misdemeanor or higher, just arrested, it doesn't matter whether there's probable cause for the arrest, it doesn't matter if there's evidence of guilt, it could just be, like all my arrests, just pissing off the police. And I'm sorry, we're in a church, I'll keep it down. But if you are arrested for a Class B misdemeanor or higher and you have a license to carry, you lose your license until that case is resolved, whether the charges are thrown out or you're acquitted, or even if you're convicted 5 years after the conviction, you can get your license back. And there's a lot of due process problems with that, mainly that the administrative hearing that you're allowed to have, because once DPS informs you that your license is suspended, you are allowed to request a hearing, but it's not a probable cause hearing. It's not a hearing on the evidence of whether or not you did what you're accused of doing. Literally, it's an administrative hearing that only determines whether or not there's an arrest. Were you placed in handcuffs? Were you charged with a crime? And were you magistrated on that crime or indicted on that crime? If yes, doesn't matter. Your license is suspended. The hearing's over, right? You can appeal to a county judge. You can appeal to a county judge, which is more of a court of record. But again, the only thing that the county judge is going to do is determine whether or not, by law, there is an arrest present. If there is, it's going to be upheld. So that's what Todd Ferguson did. He challenged, like me in Almost Park, Almost Park is an out-of-control police department there. The police arrested him for no reason whatsoever, although they claimed he was trespassing. But they didn't arrest him until, like, after the fact, way after the fact. And so we are challenging to the Supreme Court. It's the case was Ferguson v. DPS. And I got to write the Texas Supreme Court brief that is challenging that law, which is 411.187 of the government code, to invalidate it as unconstitutional because, look, Todd was arrested in 2018. It's now 2021, 3 years. It's been 3 years. He's been charged on a bogus Class A misdemeanor, I think is what it is. Nonviolent, it's just trespassing. And yet he still hasn't had his day in court. And by the way, his license is still suspended. We are very confident that the whole case is either going to be thrown out or he's going to be acquitted. But that doesn't matter. The point is, he has no Second Amendment rights in the state of Texas as long as he's waiting on the courts to do whatever the courts are doing or the prosecutor to drop the charges. And so Open Carry Texas is very involved in that. That's something that we are supporting at the Supreme Court right now. And by the way, as sort of an aside, maybe somebody out there has a contact. Maybe Jonathan can help me here with a contact. But the good news is that Millie Thompson, the attorney I was working for, was elected to be a judge, and we've got a good judge there. The bad news is, because she's a judge, she had to recuse herself from the case and remove herself as an attorney of record for the case. The case is fully briefed to the Supreme Court. Literally all we're waiting on is oral arguments, but now we have no attorney. And so two things we're trying to do. We're trying to raise money to either buy an attorney to put an attorney on record or on retainer. Or one that is willing to kind of argue the case for us. And as any attorney will tell you, they don't like taking cases that have been completely briefed and then all they're going to do is oral arguments. It's just one of those things. And so we're kind of at a weird spot here where we either have to hope that the Texas Supreme Court doesn't allow oral arguments or that we find and can pay for. The only attorney we found is one that wants $11,000 as a retainer to argue the case if it goes to the kid. Now, we'll get the money back if the court says, I think we've got enough in the briefing. And quite frankly, I think based on the DPS briefing and based on our briefing, even if it didn't do oral arguments, I still think we're going to win on the merits of the case. We've already argued. We've done the brief on the merits and all that stuff. So Open Carry Texas and I'm still involved. I still contact police departments when people contact us. And they feel like their rights have been violated. But as far as the legislative stuff is going, I'm going to leave that to Rick, and I'm going to kind of turn that over to Brandon and them on that. But I do appreciate being here. I'm glad I could at least attend remotely to be with y'all. I miss Texas. I miss doing all this activism stuff. But law school is highly political, and if I did anything and got myself arrested, even if I was doing nothing wrong, I jeopardized my entire legal career. I'm not worth anything. Without a law degree back if I go back home. So I gotta do that. But thanks, Brandon.
CJ Grisham, thank you very much for taking time away from law school. And Rick Briscoe, I believe he handed a few things to you.
Yeah,
I think I've got enough.
Is it all? It's
all. It's all? Okay. Those of you who don't know me, I am Rick Briscoe. I'm the legislative director of Open Carry Texas, which quite simply means I do laps around the pink dome for CJ. I'll tell you.
Hang on, Rick. First, I'm oversold, and now Rick is underselling. This guy's doing all the work for Open Carry Texas. He's a busy dude. But anyway, don't undersell yourself, Rick.
When I was collecting some of our trifolds, which are on the table at the back, that tells you a little bit more about Open Carry Texas, I ran across a couple of ours from, I believe they were 6 years ago. There were five states that had constitutional carry at the time. I'm pleased to tell you that today there are 18 and two states which have passed carry. The Tennessee governor has essentially told the legislature he wants to see constitutional carry passed, and Iowa committee has passed a constitutional carry bill and looks like it's got a good chance of getting up to the governor's signature too. So that would leave Texas in, at best, 21st position. Even Oklahoma has constitutional carry. What is constitutional carry? It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but here's what it really is. Means if you can lawfully own or possess a handgun, you can carry it without a license or a permit from the state. Seems pretty simple. I used to tell people that it'll take 12 or 15 pages to put it in nice lawyerly language. What did I underestimate it? The two pure constitutional carry bills that are pending that will be heard this coming Thursday are 54 pages long. Think about that just a minute. Do you really think that an average citizen should be expected to learn 54 pages of law? I intend to ask some of our legislators that question. And if they answer yes, I'm going to administer a pop quiz. uh, we shouldn't take anything at all for granted that it will make, these bills will make it out of the House. But we've got the best shot that we've had in a good many years. Speaker Phelan has authored or co-authored a number of pro-Second Amendment bills. He has appointed a wonderful chairman to the committee that will hear the bills this Thursday. That's Chairman Representative James White, who is one of the authors of an Age 21 bill. The 254-page bills are Age 18 bills. There also is a bill by Representative Matt Schaefer, which is also an Age 21 bill. And we're supporting any and all of those that we can get through. If we get them all to the governor's desk so that he can pick and choose which ones he signs, that would be absolutely amazing. But we aren't compromising. We've been taking what we can get and coming back for more. In fact, I have taken to quoting former Representative Pancho Navarez to that effect. On the last day of the legislature several years ago, he said, no matter what we give these guys, they'll be back next time asking for more. And I turned to whoever was next to me and said, yes, sir, we surely will. Now, I have given you a really short version of these bills. There are a whole lot of bad bills. All of the Second Amendment groups, whether it's NRA, Texas State Rifle Association, Open Carry Texas, Texas Gun Rights, we are all working together towards the same end to pass some good bills and kill the bad ones. And fortunately, many of the authors of the really bad bills file them every session, and generally they don't even get a hearing, which kills them. Sometimes they do, and then they get voted down. But we can't take that for granted. You need to learn who represents you. Go to your favorite search engine, DuckDuckGo or whatever, and type in who represents me. It'll give you your U.S. senators, your U.S. representative, your Texas senator, and your Texas representative. Get to know them well. Get them to know you well. When you call, the most important word you can start with is, my name is Rick Briscoe and I'm a constituent. You get treated very differently as a constituent. Why? You get a say in whether they get rehired in 2 years or four in the case of the Senate. Number one, always be polite. There have been some instances in the past where people who we've not been able to identify were, at the very least, quite rude to staff. Staff are generally young people who are just doing their job. Even if you think their boss is a terrible human being, staff does not deserve to be mistreated, and it's counterproductive. It'll just set their boss in their ways. When you go, I urge you, if at all possible, to go to the hearings this coming Thursday. I know it's a big ask to go and spend most of the day to get to speak for 2 minutes. If you can't stay but can go, you can register and indicate your position for the good bills and not testifying, and then you can leave, and the committee will then read into the record your registration that you are in favor of whichever of the bills that are not testifying. So if you need to leave, even if you've registered to testify, you can leave if you have to get home or whatever, because it's going to be a long, long day. About appearance there. We ask people to conceal carry. Yes, you have the right to open carry in the Capitol if you've got a license, but it's a matter of we're going there to try to get some things done. And I've been told by several people that open carrying at the committee hearings doesn't really do us any good. Whether they're right or wrong, let's err on the side of caution, bite your tongue, whatever. Let's get some bills passed. The other thing is, please don't show up in full battle dress. please. That does no good at all.
There is a time for that. It's just not at the cap.
Should we get some of these bills passed and signed into law by the governor, as we've done in the past, we're going to have a big celebration at the Capitol. And on those occasions, feel free to come as you will. Celebration is a whole different matter.
I have a question. Since you mentioned Pancho Navarro, how's he doing on his cocaine possession? Remember, he was going through the airport and he dropped his cocaine and they got it in the, on the video. I was just wondering how he was doing with that.
Mr. Navarro has recently published a public letter celebrating his sobriety. I'm really quite serious. He's an example of the human frailty. It could happen to anyone, whether it's drug abuse, alcohol abuse, whatever. And as Christians, we believe in redemption, and we wish him all the best in his recovery and his efforts to be a better man. That's all I have to say.
Did he get his panic button put in his office? Because he was afraid of all you gun guys, and he wanted a panic button put in his office.
Actually, there were panic buttons in most of the offices even before that. I won't go into the name of the individual whose name may not be spoken who caused that problem, but then Representative Navarez was very gracious to take CJ and myself into his office on what became our apology tour for things we didn't do. People who go, the individual literally forced their way into the office, and I won't go into further details, but it was so bad that the Republicans, Mr. Navarro is a Democrat, the Republicans were wearing buttons that said, "I am Pancho."
Oh my God.
They offended the entire legislature. That's not the way things are done. And as I said, insofar as Mr. Navarro goes personally, I wish him all the best in his recovery. And we all should. That's really the most up-to-date information on what's happening in the short term. Former Representative, now Senator Drew Springer, filed 11, count them, 11 pro-Second Amendment bills on the same day. I think that's something of a record. We'll be following his bills in the Senate. One of them will be the counterpart of his constitutional carry bill that he had pre-filed in the House before he won the election to the Senate seat. And we've got some work to do in the Senate convincing a couple of Republican senators to vote for Republican priority measures, meaning constitutional carry. There's a requirement in the Senate for a supermajority to get a bill on the floor. This term, it's 18 votes. There are 18 Republicans. If we can't get all 18 Republicans on board to get the bills on the floor, we're going visiting some Democrats, because there are some Democrats out there who at least support the Second Amendment. And with that, I'll ask David to take over.
Well, I think you and CJ pretty much covered it all. I'm just going to say one thing. It's really simple. You show up and you get involved or you lose, and that's the bottom line. So whatever you might believe in, get involved, show up. Whether it's one subject or all of the subjects that this panel covers, get up and get involved. It's really just that simple. There's not anything more to it than that. I am going to brag on my friend Rick for just a second, though. I want to point something out. There's a reason that he's the legislative director and CJ and I are not, although CJ's pretty good at it, too. The truth of the matter is, CJ and I are hellraisers and attention getters. That's what we do. That's what we do best. I do not have the patience or the grace of this man, and he is exceptionally good at what he does. I would have given a very different answer to Doc's question about Poncho.
And everybody knows him.
Well, let me tell you this about David. I was pleased to follow his lead when nearly 600 armed citizens walked through Alma's Park. And we made our point. David knocked on the door to City Hall to deliver our petition.
How many of you were there? Raise your hand. That was an auspicious day. Go ahead.
And no one was home, so I went back to the TV crew on the next business day and delivered a stack of petitions like this. And we made our voices heard. David also led an event out in Odessa where a handful of citizens were arrested for not breaking the law, and about 150 armed citizens showed up and didn't break the law.
How many of you were there? All the way out in Odessa.
All the way out in Odessa.
And so...
And
don't
the This Is Texas Freedom Force guys backed us up on that to the on both of those events, Almost Park and out in Odessa.
So don't overlook the leadership of those two good men.
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Perhaps David would tell us how we can join OCT.
The best way to do that is go to the website. We also have a group on Facebook. It's a closed group, and as you know, Facebook is unsympathetic to our point of view. So we're still up there. We also have, now that's the easy way to find us. But Facebook is not where we conduct our business. There's a brand new social media site. How long has that been up, CJ? But moving in on a year now?
About a year now, yeah.
Okay. It's called Freedom Lake. Now, I realize that's a, you know, kind of a unique name, but Facebook, that's pretty unique too. So go to freedomlake.com and find us there. That's where we can speak our minds. That's where we can say what we think, say what we mean, and we don't have to worry about some liberal you-know-what censoring us, kicking us off, separating us from our main way we communicate with our relatives out of state, that sort of thing. We can be ourselves over there. And so that would be, that's where we do our business. If you need to find us, you can find us on Facebook. We also, we're on MeWe. We have a YouTube channel, but we haven't done anything there in a while. And also our website, opencarrytexas.org. That's how you can find us.
And you can set up a monthly contribution.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Can I make a few extra additions to that?
Yes, please.
Yeah, just to kind of, I wrote down a few things that both, oh, my card's green, so you can't. Anyway. So, just a couple points I wanted to highlight from the two. The first being Almost Park, just for those that are wondering, I still am engaged in a civil suit, so that case is continuing to go forward. Almost Park isn't off the hook yet. We're in the discovery phase of that case. But what's important about what Rick talked about, and if you go to our website, opencarrytexas.org, and you click at the top, there's a link that says bill tracking. We have a list. I don't think it's comprehensive because it needs to be updated with some of the more recently filed bills, but it's got most of all the bills related to gun rights and gun control that have been filed so far and what our position is on it, and you can click on it and read the bill yourself. And like I said, opencarrytexas.org, and then click on the bill tracking link, and we've got all those bills already laid out and what the bill does and whether we support it or don't support it. And there's a lot of gun control stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff we're going to be fighting this year. And why this is important is because, listen to this, in Texas, the minute if you want to travel to Canada, from the moment you leave Texas until you get to the Canadian border, you don't have to have a license to at least open carry, and in many of those states, concealed carry. From here to Canada, if you want to travel east to the Atlantic Ocean, You don't need a license unless you avoid Florida. But if you avoid Florida, you just head straight east. You don't need a license until you get to the Atlantic Ocean. If you head west, you don't need a license until you get the People's Communist Commune of California. So we are literally in a minority of states that requires a license. Now, almost there's like 37 states, 38 states that you don't have to have a license to open carry. And we're in a minority here that you need a license to do one or both. But we're also, when Open Carry Texas first started in 2013, there were five constitutional carry states, five. As Rick said, there's now 18, and Texas isn't one of them. So we are falling way behind. We are not the state of gun rights as a lot of people think. You know, they think Texas has our reputation precedes us, but it's a false reputation. And those are just a few things I wanted to point out and why this is so important, because law-abiding citizens should not have to beg for government permission to get a license. And the trajectory of the United States is towards unlicensed carry. We have a very good shot this year, but we do need you guys and your friends and your neighbors and your family members to show up when it's important, and Thursday is one of those important days. I did put a video on our Open Carry Texas page. I'm trying to do that a little bit more. Most of my videos that I do live, but I do them at like midnight, because that's about when I get done with my law school studies, and then I spend an hour or two going over everything and then getting 3 hours of sleep before I get up again. So I just wanted to put some highlights in what Rick and David said about what we're fighting for and why it's really important.
I'm still holding the mic, so I'll say something. Yes, Chief is absolutely right. It really boils down to get up, get involved, make a stand. If it weren't for him making a stand, we would not have open carry right now. That gives you an example of the results you get when you just get involved, just go to work. And I'm going to disagree with you for the first time in the history of my involvement with Open Carry Texas. No, Chief, it was you leading the charge. You can't push a rope. You have to pull it. And you were out front pulling. I don't know why we'd be surprised. He's a first sergeant.
That's right. Sergeants make the Army work.
You better believe they do. And anyway, on that note, I'm going to turn it over to the organization to put this whole thing together, because they've been sitting there patiently waiting.
Join us in the chat on YouTube and Facebook.
You bought that nice TV with surround sound, but you know it's not quite right. You need an audio video guru. The guys at AV Guru have been making systems look and sound great for years. Have your TV and sound system calibrated by a real pro with the gear and knowledge to make it happen. Now get a $450 value for only $149 and get a free 4K Roku. Supercharge your experience. Call now, 832-335-5768, 832-335-5768.
In the age of fake news and truly sad times, what do you really need? You need the damn good times. Trustworthy articles written and selected for you by people you know and trust. Go to thedamngoodtimes.com to subscribe to the free Daily Dose and the full-blown monthly edition and more. Join thousands of liberty-minded patriots like yourself in getting what you really need from the news daily and monthly. It's free. I read it, and so should you.
Hey, Barry the Music Man here for Tejas Smoke Depot. They have everything you need when it comes to smoke. Check out the 150-square-foot walk-in humidor filled with a huge selection of fine cigars. Or give them a call at 830-990-1472 and order up what you want. Maybe you like to roll your own. They have it. Maybe you need a gift for a smoker in the family. How about a new pipe? They have a large selection, even a cross-section of great beers in stock. In a hurry? Come by and use the drive-thru. Located at 1639 West Highway 290 in Fredericksburg, Texas. Out of town? Visit them at the website, TejasSmokeDepot.com, or call 830-990-1472. That's 830-990-1472. It's smoking.
Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, MeWe. What?
Social media got you in a twist? Too busy running your business to run your social media? Let the experts at Marina Bay Marketing run your social media so you can run your business.
Our staff is young. They know everything. Call us for a free consultation at 936-777-4548 or email us at crystal@marinabaymarketing.com.
Whether you need help running your business social media or your campaign social media, Marina Bay Marketing has you covered.
With competitive pricing, our network reaches more than 200,000. So call us, 936-777-4548.
Green Air Technology will sanitize, sterilize, and defunkify your home. Our treatment utilizes a high-output biocleaner to eradicate bacteria, germs, and airborne pathogens and allergens in any home, vehicle, or facility. So if your facility or home smells funky like a bow-legged monkey, call Green Air Technologies. We are dedicated to eliminating odor and airborne contaminants at home, at work, or even in your vehicle.
Now featuring BioSphere.
Call Jim Green at 346-254-9217 or go to greenairtech.com. 346-254-9217 or go to greenairtech.com.
Like the sounds of cannons on the horizon, please return with me to the amazing Doc Green Show, because I like things that go kaboom.
This is Texas Freedom Force. This is Texas Freedom Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Texas Freedom Force. And anyway, on that note, I'm going to turn it over to the organization that put this whole thing together because they've been sitting there patiently waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Texas Freedom Force.
Is it on?
Okay,
great. I'm Randy Beal. I'm communications director for the Houston area of TIPFF. I'm going to have to apologize. I've got a migraine and my eyes are blurry. I need to put my sunglasses on because that light's killing me right now. So I can't read anything in front of me, but we're here to promote the Monument Protection Bill that has been filed. There's two, one in the Senate, one in the House. We also have some anti-monument bills that have been filed that we will be combating during the session. So that's what we're here to do. I'm ready to answer questions on that. I will have to do them all from memory. Maybe Brandon and Ramon can bail me out on that. But on a note, I don't know if any of y'all are members of Texas State Rifle Association, but I'm in there last month. And it has nothing to do with guns. I was testifying on a monument protection bill. But the Texas Tribune took a picture of me because I open carry in the Capitol. And I'm famous for that now because it floats around everywhere. So I'm testifying at the monument protection bill, but I was working for the pro-gun people just because I open carried out there. They didn't give us credit for anything in there. They don't even know who we are. So come to the Capitol, see how things work, open carry, and you might become famous because you get recognized. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, but I do play one on Facebook. So Facebook did us wrong too. All three pages are gone. All the directors are gone. But we three have an alias on Facebook. So if y'all want to know who we are, Steve gets one too. If y'all want to know who we are, we'll tell you later. So I do sneak TITF stuff in, and so far I haven't been slapped down. So that page has been up for 5 years. I had that way before they took us down. But anyhow, I'm good. I'll pass it to Brandon.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming out here. It's just like Randy said, you know, we're pushing the mine protection bill here. And there's information that we have. If any of y'all haven't heard, yesterday I was contacted by State Representative Slayton, his office. They're getting ready to push the bill to committee. And this is HB 2571. And it's a very strong bill. Basically, it's a bill that that Senator Creighton had passed, that was passed in the Senate, the last legislation. It's basically almost word for word, if not exactly the same bill as Senator Creighton's bill. That's why we're feeling real strong. We met with State Representative Slayton, and he's very confident that it will go through only because of the fact is this, he's getting our support, and the fact is also, Texas is sick and tired of our monuments being destroyed. So, by the same token, we reached out to a lot of our members, and just like Open Carry Texas is saying, we need y'all at the Capitol. We need every single one of y'all to testify. We're just waiting to hear back from State Representative Slade's office when they're going to get the meet in committee and when we'll speak our piece, because he wants to know if we're really going to support it. And we did send him a list of names of our members, and that was a small list of 20 names. But I know we can bring more than that, because we are all over the state of Texas. We've got members all over. So we need to reach out to every single member that you know that has not reached out to us yet. Because like Randy said, you know, that other, we won't mention that other social media site that kicked us off. We need to reach out to every single member. If they're not on have reached out to us on MeWe, you need to send them to our direction. Also, not just members, we're asking for supporters. People, Texans that feel that our monuments need to be protected, you don't have to be a member. Just come on out. Spread the word. And I guarantee it, the more people that are out there, there's going to be strength, and they're going to feel our wrath, basically. Thank you.
Well, how's it going, guys? I'm going to start this off before I say my spill about what we do as an organization. This is great right here, what we're doing right now. We're sitting here with Texas Values, who has their own cause that they fight for, but it's something that all Texans believe in. Open Carry Texas is over here. They have their own cause, but all Texans believe in. Our organization, we have our own cause, but all Texans believe in. When we start bringing together Texans like this, we start taking our state back. And other organizations out there can learn from this. We have got to work together in order to get stuff done. We've got to. You know, the hell with the glory, the hell who gets credit. Let's do what's right for Texas. So, I'm also going to add, secondly, that this man, C.J. Grissom, you can't see me looking at him right now, but this man right here is what inspired me to start this is Texas Freedom Force. His work at Open Carry Texas. This man right here, I reached out to whenever I was up into my neck with law enforcement here, the Metro from Houston, the Mounted Patrol, the county, the mayor's office, the park police. They wanted a meeting with us because we were bringing out 1.5 thousand Texans to Herman Park to protect the Sam Houston Monument. And so I knew he knew a lot about the gun stuff, so I asked him to attend. He helped me get This is Texas Freedom Force started. Also, our directors, Ms. Joanne back here that's working, and on the side note, all the ladies that are over here working on the t-shirts right there, we thank you very much for doing this. I mean, it's a great help. Our Vice President, Lamar Henry, back here. This man is Rocky. That's his nickname. Let me tell you what, San Antonio State Council fears him. We've also got our enforcement team director, Steve Jackson, back here. We got our newest director, Todd Williams, for the medical team. And then, of course, our latest addition, which is Ben Ballard, our coordinator for the new DFW chapter of TITFF. All of these directors right here, all of the members of TITFF, we work together as a team to get something done. And we've been pressing this monument protection bill now for the third. This is our third legislative session. And the best way that it was put to me, some of those of y'all that know Dr. Tim Wesley, he's the Republican historian right now, but we claim that he's been with our organization for 2 years, so we had him first. And I spoke to him before the Monument Protection Bill got filed this legislative session, and he said, you know, you got to just keep plugging. He said, every inch forward you get, you take that victory and you keep plugging on until you reach your goal. And that's exactly what we got to do. Our two bills that are right now that are happening inside of the legislative is, of course, HB 2571, which is authored by House Representative Slayton, and then, of course, SB 1416, which is Senator Creighton, who has worked with us since 2017 on the Monument Protection Bill. Before the Republican Party put it on their priority list and all this other stuff, this man stood up, and he took a beating last legislative session from the Democrats, and he just kept on going after them. And so both of those guys deserve a lot of credit for standing up and doing this. Our bill is basically that we've got these two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. The one in the House, like Ramon said, is basically the same bill that we had last time for that Senator Creighton wrote. we think that there's some kind of negotiating going on behind the scenes that they're just not telling any of us about, which is rare because Senator Creighton happens to be a good friend of ours. Because there's only one sentence missing out of HB 2571 from Senator Creighton's 2019 Monument Protection Bill, it's a little strange, you know, that the same exact wording except for one sentence. And I know that because we've compared them. And then, of course, Senator Creighton has done a great job this year as well with SB 1416. And he has 11 Senator co-authors who have signed on with this, which means that the Senate's almost pretty much a done deal. It's going to pass the Senate. The last time in 2019, the only thing that held us up was the House of Representatives. And so that's why we are applying all of our pressure onto the House of Representatives right now, because, and I'll tell you guys flat out, in 2019 on the legislative session, they fought in the Senate to try to stop our bill, which was SB 1663, right? And they couldn't stop it in the Senate, so then it moved forward into the House, and there was only a week left that we had, and we were pressing on them hard to have them read that bill. The Democrats knew they were in trouble, so they ran to the Republicans and they told them. They said, if you do not vote, if you, you know, drop the bill for the Monument Protection Bill, we won't vote against you on your border bill that's coming up. Republicans fell for it. They took it hook, line, and sinker. And then guess who voted against the border bill? Mm-hmm. The Democrats. So we remind them every time that we're in their office, and we've been up there quite a bit. We always bump into Richard up there, and he says he does laps, and I believe it, because every time we're up there, he's up there. So we just got to keep putting the pressure on them. And when it comes to these committee hearings, whether it's our bill, whether it's Texas Values bills, whether it's Open Carry Texas bills, we have got to pack those rooms and testify, because it makes a huge, huge difference in whether or not those bills get passed or not. And there's a lot of work that goes into them, so if you can only make it to one of them, you know, pick and choose which one's the most important to you and make it to there. If you can attend all of them, we'd love to have you, because nothing screams success than having a room packed full of people, of Texans, that want that bill passed, and it speaks volumes. I'll just say this, and I'll close, because we need to get to the Q&A part of this. As last in 2019, whenever we were pushing our Monument Protection Bill, we had a Republican representative up in Amarillo that was on the fence. He wasn't going to tell us that he would support the bill. He wasn't going to tell us that he was against it, but he's sitting on the fence. So it just so happened that my wife is from Amarillo, and so she needed to go up and go see her family. And I told her, I said, hey, you know, give me a day and let me talk to you. I might go with you. And so I talked to the directors. Directors were okay with it. So we put out a message to everybody up in Amarillo that we're going to hold a town hall right in the middle of the Waffle House, and we're going to tell everybody what he was doing. There was standing room only in the Waffle House that day, and none of them had a clue what was taking place. But when I left that Waffle House that day, they were ticked off. And guess who called us 2 days later to say, I'm supporting your Monument Protection Bill, I'll vote yes on it. And that's the way you've got to get this stuff done. Pressure works. And so, you know, with that, I'll just close. Guys, these Monument Protection Bills are just, they're extremely important to us. Those of y'all that know, we held the Alamo from 4,000 BLM and Antifa rioters and looters that threatened to burn it to the ground. And we should have had 1,000 men out there, but we only had 150. But guess what? In 1836, there was only about 180-200 that were there, and they fought against 4,000 to 5,000 Mexican troops, and they won too. So it's this history repeating itself. You mentioned the San Jacinto Monument. Our director right here, Randy, as well as Joseph and the crowd.
There's four of us.
Four of them. Y'all raise your hand.
Right out there.
The same night that we protected the Alamo, the BLM, well, it was either BLM or Antifa here. I'm not for sure. You, Joe, confirm which one it was?
No.
That was in the van?
No,
okay.
We have no idea who it was.
Okay.
We're thinking Antifa.
But they had a pilot van that was cruising by San Jacinto, and they wanted to vandalize that monument. And these guys took off. They couldn't make it to San Antonio, so they took off to go protect San Jacinto because the cops were busy with all the riots and everything else going on downtown Houston. And sure enough, they saw that pilot car, and the pilot car wouldn't pull into San Jacinto because of them being there armed. And, of course, whenever the police came in and finally relieved them early in the morning, they told them, and guess who got arrested with a couple of cases of spray paint inside their vehicle. So these guys protected San Jacinto. Right. And so
that day, there were three credible threats against the monument on Capitol grounds, the Alamo and the Cenotaph, and San Jacinto. Guess which two didn't get vandalized? The two that we were that citizens were standing there protecting
with guns.
With guns, and Abbott's District 7 DPS was lacking because those monuments are the ones that got vandalized and tore down.
Right.
So that a lot of people don't know that, but you know, we people protected those, not the government.
What? You mean the people got it done and the government didn't?
Got done quickly too.
I think that's also proof it only takes one patriot per every 100 BLM Antifa terrorists.
And David right here, he drove all the way into the Alamo with us that night to stand with us and grabbed as many guys as he could and brought them in there too. So you deserve credit for protecting the Alamo just as much. You know, I've told you this a million times. I know I've told CJ a few times because I don't get to see him as much as I talk to David, and I know I've told Richard the same thing. Anytime that you need our help to back hell up, you say the word, we're there. This Thursday, we've already got it up on our website. We're going to be there.
All right.
So we're going to back them up because they back us up on the history, and we want to work with Texas Values as well to do other things to help Texas become the great state and technically the great country that it really is. So we want to take care of it.
Like the sounds of cannons on the horizon, please return with me to the amazing Doc Green Show, because I like things that go kaboom.
Now, as promised, we have Marilee Beasley on the line. She is running for city council in Jersey Village, which is a suburb of Houston. Welcome to the show, Marilee Beasley.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, glad to have you on the show. And I guess the first question a lot of people would ask is, why in the world would you run?
She's walking in the door.
For city council.
Well, I'm running for mayor. Now, I ran for city council, and I don't understand why my opponent at that time had been on city council for about 14 years. I don't like to do things for that many years. I get bored. Now, I found out in May of 2018 there was mail-in ballot fraud. With that election, a gentleman who was highly qualified, he was an attorney with business experience, he lost to another person by 3 votes. And I thought that was extremely suspicious. So what I did is I started asking a lot of questions, and I discovered that we had a lot of people who were doing mail-in ballots at that time. Now, there had been just a few about 2 years earlier, and now there were a lot. So I became suspicious about that. And I did a survey with the help of a couple of people. I created a survey, sent it out, and I discovered that there were 3 people who wrote back. Several people sent the survey back in. They indicated they'd never applied for mail-in ballots. And one of them was my neighbor, and I was very concerned about this possibility. The other thing I discovered in doing all this investigating is that we have an old-fashioned ballot box with a very large slit in the side. So I am suspicious that there was some kind of tampering with the ballot box. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm just suspicious. Okay, next.
Well, in light of everything else, I could see why you would be suspicious.
Right. Okay. Now, since then, we've had the national election, and, of course, everybody has realized that with mail-in ballots, you have a lot of fraud, potential for fraud and fraud. And Colleen Vera, whose husband is Alan Vera, who's trans people for ballot integrity, she has done a lot of research, and she has been able to document that Sheila Jackson Lee does mail-in ballot fraud. I mean, she doesn't, but somebody has done it, and that's why she stays in office.
Well, we actually saw the checks here on the show. She had written checks to a known forger for the sole purpose of forging ballots. So we know that happens. We brought that proof to you here on this show.
Excellent. Okay, so why am I running? All right. Well, I actually ran for state rep. I am a certified school teacher, a registered nurse. I have 4 college degrees in 3 different fields. I have worked for Houston ISD. I've worked for a charter school. In that capacity, I was a school nurse. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been a nursing instructor. I work for Harris County Health Department. So my main career has been in nursing. Now, I also was a piano major when I first went off to college, and I did teach piano for 5 years. Classical music is one of my favorite things to listen to and do. All right, so the reason I'm telling you all of this is I think I'm more qualified than many people who are part of the Jersey Village. I guess you would call them the government clique or the government group. And it's really hard to get any new people on city council because when there's vacancies, they always like to appoint their friends. So I decided that when it turned out the person who was running for mayor was running, I said, there is no way while I can breathe that I am not going to put up a big fight to do my best to be him. Now, the thing that is interesting is that my opponent is an attorney. And when he found out when this election appears to be suspicious, he's under a code of ethics to investigate and do something about it. And he was silent. Everybody was silent. They didn't say a thing. They didn't do a thing. And they should have done something. You know, they should have been investigating that election. Okay, now, it turns out there is another person named Ashley Brown. She is running for another position for city council, and she has my full support. So if anybody is listening, please consider donating to Ashley Brown because she's working really hard. She's even working on a petition to get the ability for the citizens to get to vote on moving the city hall to the other side of Highway 290. Now, we have a lot of turds in Jersey Village, and I don't know if your audience knows what turds are, but these are economic development programs that the state develops, and it looks to me like they are opportunities for people to come in and hand out contracts to their friends and family and whoever. Mm-hmm. So I'm very concerned because in Jersey Village, we had the tax day flood, which was almost 5 years ago, and the Jersey Village has never done anything to mitigate anything related to the flood. So there's a lot of suspicious things in Jersey Village. So when I am mayor, we are going to make sure that everybody remembers we, the people. I'm not the person who decides everything. We decide. We need to look into what's been going on. We need to find out why the golf course gave away 2,000 free rounds of golf because the golf course is losing money. And in June of 2018, Bill Beasley got up and did a presentation and informed the Jersey Village City Council that the year before it had lost almost $600,000. In the previous 10 years, it was over $3,400,000. And he took the numbers that Jersey Village had. Now, I want to know why the good people of Jersey Village are not aware of these kinds of things. Well, it seems a little hidden to me. Now, in my opinion, I see a lot of what I would call lack of integrity with people who are running for office. They lack integrity. I'm the oldest of six children. My parents were chemists. They were children of farmers, and we were not allowed to fib. And it seems like the politicians can say whatever they want. And I think one of the problems is we need term limits. We must have term limits, because what seems to happen is somebody comes to Congress or the state of, you know, Austin. They start out earnest. They stay too long, and it's I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. So we, in my opinion, we've got to start figuring out ways to get term limits. Now, what I also want to mention is I am a public health nurse. I'm very concerned about the vaccine. And I have a website, and I am basically blocked on saying anything else on Facebook because I'm not sure it's because the vaccines or because I'm too conservative. I'm also now blocked on YouTube. I have had too many dings with YouTube. And the other day, I did a presentation about human trafficking, and my webmaster was not able to load the YouTube video from that presentation.
Well, that's fairly normal.
Yeah, well, and that's not helpful. How do we spread the word? How do we tell people the truth?
And well, I have the same problem. I mean, I'm on a 90-day ban right now, and, you know, and all I can do is I'm hoping that I get back on in April.
Okay, now.
By the way, there's Ashley Brown for Jersey Village. I'll just put her picture up there for you.
Good, good. Please, Ashley has lived in Jersey Village for a couple of years, and she's gotten very interested in what's going on in Jersey Village, okay? So I really encourage everybody to research her, meet her. I did a meet and greet at my house, which turned out great. By the way, I do want to do a little plug for the Green Brothers band, right? And a plug for Camp Hope. Camp Hope is that wonderful place not too far from Jersey Village that provides service interim housing for veterans suffering from PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And a member of my church who I've never met started Camp Hope. And I would like to ask anybody, why do we expect the military to put their lives on the line if we're going to have all this lying and cheating with elections?
Yeah, well, I would agree with you on that. By the way, Tom in the chat room says almost all city-run golf courses lose money.
I know. But do the citizens... But
so I'm trying to figure out why it's my job as a taxpayer to pay for a game that I don't play, that I can't afford to play. And, you know, so that other people that can afford to play it can play for free. I don't know. I'm not happy with
that. Now, that's a good question. Now, most of the people on city council play golf. What do you think about that? They play golf.
Well, I think maybe they want me to pay for their golf game. That's what I think.
Well, and I like the golf course. I do, but the problem is, we are bleeding money in Jersey Village, and there's just I'm just suspicious about all kinds of things, and I don't know how in the world we ever got any kind of award for transparency.
Hmm.
I mean, who nominated us? Did the city fathers did they nominate the Jersey Village to get that award for transparency? I mean, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of suspicious activity. And Ronald Reagan said, dangerous words are, I'm from the government and I am here to help you.
Well, this is true. Of course, you know, you've also got issues with the police over there. One of my friends, Mr. Patrick Roth, got arrested over there for walking down the street with a camera.
Well, guess what? The Jersey Village police chief was fired a year ago, October.
Mm-hmm.
And I was horrified when I found out what a tyrant he appeared to be. I put his termination letter on my website, and over 4,200 people came to see the termination letter. And then the detective, I really like the detective, he got fired
mm-hmm.
because he's on the Brady list, which means he can't testify in court. And my understanding is that court case was dismissed because he is considered a liar. I mean, what is wrong with our police officers?
Yeah, so then why would you hire a guy like that to be your top cop?
Detective.
It makes no sense.
And then another officer got fired recently, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, are they just all falling? And when the police chief, before the one we have now, there was a very high turnover in the Jersey Village Police Department. It was documented. I did a PIR to get that the chief's personnel file. Why did he get a rating scores that were so wonderful if he had all these issues? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Well, I guess it's just what? The good old boys just help each other go on and on.
Well,
I don't.
So often it seems like some of these government agencies are run to benefit the people that are running them. And so I don't like it. That's why I didn't like what I saw on the video, from News Now, Patrick. And you guys have had a long run of crazy stuff happening over there. So if you get elected as mayor, hurdle.
No, I'm going to say when I'm elected. I want to clean up all of this stuff. I want to get a team of forensic accountants in and make sure to look at everything and see if everything is A-okay. Okay? That's what I think is important. Now, I want to recommend to people that we need to have better, stronger party, we need to make sure that people get involved with their elections, their community. Get involved, volunteer to block walk, volunteer to be a poll watcher, but just help. We need everybody to do something.
Well,
because if we don't, we're just going to go on and on with this stuff.
First of all, what is your website if people want to get involved and help you?
Because it's
not going to be a small thing for you to win Jersey Village. It's definitely a good old voice click over there.
You might be surprised because a bunch of people are fed up. They're fed up. Some people have given up, and now with Ashley Brown, there's hope. Okay, and with me, and I got a bunch of supporters. Now, my regular website right now is MerrilyBeasley.org. It's MERRILEE, B like boy, EAZLEY.org. All right. Now, I am in the process of having another website. Or at first, I was going to put my campaign on my regular website, but my regular website is getting way too full. During the lockdown or pandemic, I did
plandemic.
A lot of YouTube videos. Right. I did a lot of YouTube videos because all these parents were at home with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a certified school teacher, so I did activities that were either very inexpensive activities that parents could do while their kids were at home. Okay, so that's where all of and then I have a lot of YouTube videos about vaccines. Please, I implore everybody to do careful research on vaccines. They are not what you think they are.
Well, the new COVID vaccine doesn't even meet the definition of a vaccine. It is a DNA-altering device.
I agree. But when are people going to realize that they're not doing their research? They trust their doctor. They trust somebody else. Please don't let anybody else think for you.
No.
Please, right? Do your own research.
Do your own research.
Whether it's an election... or it's a medication, why do we have so many people who trust pharmaceuticals, the pharmaceutical companies? Why are people eating healthy? Okay. Why are people eating healthy, exercising, resting? And if they're sick, they should stay home and rest. If they have a compromised immune system, then what they should do is avoid crowds like their doctors tell them to do. The rest of us should not have to wear masks. And all of this, 2 years ago during the annual flu, nobody made anybody wear a mask.
That's right.
And now the mandate has been taken away, and all these people are scared, and they're still wearing masks outdoors even.
Outdoors even. It's crazy. I mean, why would
crazy.
You do that? But, yeah, I'm amazed. I drive down the road, and I see people in their cars wearing masks. I figure their cars must smell really bad. I don't know.
Well, no, I see people walking, and they're wearing a mask.
Ridiculous.
No, this isn't about our health. It's about control.
It is.
Okay. Well, anyway.
MerrilyBeasley.org.
Yes. And my other website coming soon, and I believe it's going to be Merrily Beasley or MerrilyForMayor.org, I believe.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sure there will be a link.
That's MerrillyLEE.
Yes. And Beasley, okay, Beasley with a Z. B, it's the Beasleys in Virginia spelled it with a Z. Okay?
So,
and then my maiden name is Rosine, and I don't even want to tell you the story about that name. Okay, anyway, have a blessed day, Doc.
Well, Merrily Beasley, thank you for being on the show today. And we would like to see Jersey Village have a very cathartic experience, an enema, if you will. And Merrily Beasley, I can assure you, is the one who will make that happen.
I will.
So,
when there's a will, there's a way.
And do you have a donation button on your website at MerrillyBeasley.org?
There's going to be a donation button on my website for Merrily, the mayor one. Yes. Please consider donating $5, $10. I pretty much self-funded my campaign when I ran for state rep because I was so busy and because I thought I don't want to owe anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I want people to have a little bit of skin in the game, just a little.
Well, do it,
but
guys,
I know how
because
to be
if everybody gives a little bit, then the end result is she's got enough to run the ads she needs to run. And
right.
to get elected. And since I have the occasion to drive through Jersey Village from time to time, I would like to see things cleaned up over there, too. And I hate to drive
yes.
through Jersey Village in fear of getting pulled over by a local fundraiser. So,
well,
I would like
Village,
the police to be
know?
Involved in criminal prosecution and not just arresting people in shiny cars.
Well, no, I've heard that Jersey Village is a speed trap.
That's what I've heard. I happen to have firsthand knowledge.
I got a warning ticket, so I've never done any speeding since then. So I'm very careful.
Well, for those of you that are not blonde females, you're going to get more than a warning. So, and then I don't know. Did they ever get away with all the red lights? Because I know that I got a red light camera
yes.
ticket over there once
yes,
too.
Yes, they finally had because the governor banned red light cameras from the state. Yes, we finally got rid of those.
Good. So anyway, because I had a ticket I never paid on a red light camera.
Well, Bill Beasley got two tickets on a truck, and since he usually drove the truck, I assume he was in the truck. But who knows?
Yeah, well, you don't know.
That's right.
You don't know. All right. Well, I'm out of time. Merrily Beasley right there.
Okay.
And we'll have you back when you get your other website up. All right, guys.
Okay.
God bless you. Thank you for being part of the show. God willing, see you tomorrow. Same doc time, same doc channel.